Vacation is not the same as ours. Accelerated, activated awakening to kingdom reality. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I prayed and asked the Lord, what do you want me to speak about this week? And he told me Isaiah 55:11. So I went and looked it up. And I meditated in the entire chapter for quite a while. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, without production or any effect, or be useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purposed, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This entire message is scripture. God just gave it to me, boom, boom, boom. So I'm just going to read it to you. I'm going to share it with you. It is, you know, there's a man named Bobby Connor who is a very powerful minister. He was a little down-home minister and somewhere in the South for 40 years, and then God just bopped him on the head and sent him out, and we first met him at Morningstar many years ago. But he just stands up and shoots scriptures. You memorize, he's had it all in his spirit, and he just speaks the word and where it is, and he just keeps doing it. And I can, when he speaks, I see the bullets flying. And I see the arrows going out. That's what he does when he preaches. And he is very, very much on fire and walks in inner healing and deliverance and prophetic unction. We have fallen down under the power of his anointing many times when we went into Morningstar. So I saw that in the spirit realm when I started to do this message. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. You just wash them in the word. So that's what I'm going to do. And it is spirit-filled and spirit-anointed, a spirit-appointed, and spirit-directed. So the Holy Spirit wrote this message, not me. Okay? So I want you to be filled. We have and we are a living kingdom produced by the living word. We are. In the scripture it says that we are a kingdom of priests in Revelation. This year, I'm speaking this because of the messages that Pastor Roy has been sharing about RCF and reminding us of the promises and the reality of what God spoke to us when we started this church, this body of believers. I am excited to come here every week and join my heart with yours and bring the word of God and the worship. I just love what God does in our midst and how he moves. I am also foolish enough to believe that even if Pastor Roy and I are the only two that are worshiping, he will come in full power anyway. So you guys are just an addition and a good addition. But the best is when everybody is together on the same page and engaged, then there's more power, more anointing, and more release that comes. So it's the adding and the multiplying principle as well. This year, we want to add new living hope to the foundation of the living hope we are already carrying. We are already carrying a foundation of living hope because we have walked for a certain amount of time in the presence of the King and hearing and believing and is being established. We have a foundation. I had a foundation of scriptures and church going when I was being raised, even though I was a wicked sinner, got saved at whenever. It was 1978. I don't remember how old I was. But whatever. I think I was 28. But anyway, I got saved and delivered and set free and continue. And I'm still getting saved and delivered and set free because every day I have to renew my mind. And that's the way that I get transformed is by being in the Word and believing what the Word says. So we have a living hope that we carry in our heart. And we want to ask the Lord to multiply the blessings that He has for us as we give them away. We give away what we found by walking into a place being filled. It doesn't even matter if you don't say anything to anybody. You walk into a place, you're bringing the presence of the King. It's a reality. We need to combine, add what we know and have experienced with God with what we are believing for now and trust Him for new experiences. This is right from the Holy Spirit's mouth. New experiences in the Holy Spirit. See, we don't want to be walking along and we have normal lives. There's nothing so spectacular about our lives sometimes, but every day, you know, I still have to wash the dishes and clean the floor and do all those things, you know, watch my kids and, you know, cook, clean, laundry, all of those things beside everything else. And you know what? I rejoice in the fact that I'm able to do that. All of those things are a blessing to me and my normalcy. And sometimes the rote of it just continuing is a blessing. Oh, I can clean my house right now. I don't have to think about this. I can just fold my laundry. I sit on the couch and fold my laundry. And it's a blessing. But in the midst of that, I hear God. I hear God all the time. And if I don't hear him, I say, where are you? What are you doing? It doesn't mean that I hear an audible voice all the time, but I always have a song or a word in my heart. When I go into wherever it is, if I do not have something that's spiritually moving in my inner being, I am looking for him because that's where I want to live. And I believe that's where you guys want to live because otherwise you would not be here listening to me. That's for sure. Somebody came and she said, oh, I'm just so filled with doubt still and this and that. And, you know, I was able to see and just speak over her life and say, well, no, it was a couple of weeks ago. I said, no, you don't really see how faith-filled you are and what you've done and how God has spoken to you and you have obeyed him. You are like stuck in this little thing over here. And then I said to her, if you really didn't want God, you wouldn't be here. Because people don't come and talk to me unless they really want to hear from God and they want me to pray the will of God and the word of God into their lives. So I said, you came here all the way from Queens. Something's going on. God is doing things. And I was able to encourage her because sometimes as a spiritual mom or a spiritual director or a pastor, I'm able to, you see the canopy and you see God's blessing and the rain coming down on that person that's lost and in confusion and not really understanding. And that's part of the reason why we've been doing that song. I found that song through another song that I was learning and enjoying and found this little group called House Fires. That song, I love that song, Never Run Dry. That song touched me even more than the original song that I found that they sang. They did and wrote Good, Good Father, which was the initial song. There are just truths in that song that cause my entire spirit to rise up, no matter what. So, the Holy Spirit has promised new experiences in the spirit realm to add to our being and our lives in God. I want to take a minute and acknowledge that our little friend over here, Martha, is our historian, and she writes all of the testimonies and the answers to prayer every week. I was in my mind for 2 weeks, so I'm acknowledging you, saying thank you. Okay, 1 Peter. See, we have the foundation, wherever we are today, whatever our foundation is. And if there are holes in your foundation, then you need to repair it. Jesus is the repairer of the breach, right? And then we get launched from the foundation. And yes, you can either be on a rocket or you can be in an old broken down car. I don't really care if it's a rocket as long as it's moving. I don't care what it is as long as it's moving. Even if it's a broken down car, as long as it's moving. 1 Peter 1:2, no one is missing and no one is forgotten. God the Father has his eye on each of you and is determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I have sent it, the purpose that I have for it. There's a little something, which I'm going to talk about later, that we have, that we keep thinking that God is like Santa Claus, and we're going to go sit on his lap and tell him all these things that we want, and maybe those desires and those things that we want are really not his desire for us. So we have to be willing to be in line and in alignment with the will of God and what he says in his word. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. I'm learning a song which is blessing me. It's called Shoulders. My town and country or some king and country but they sing the scripture. Don't be afraid. Somebody else, don't be afraid. You can give me everything, and I will carry it on my shoulders. So we're going to do that song because I like it, and it works. And it's got beautiful, beautiful truths in it. When you find a song that draws you into the presence of the King, memorize a song. Learn it. Sing it. Enjoy it. Because if God has anointed a song for you by His Spirit, then it's a song for you. So sing it. Hi, Jenny. Nice to see you. So, I'm excited because I prayed that Jenny would come to church this week. And I was going to put a mark. You know, I'm not on Facebook so much because I'm involved in all these other things that I have to do. But I said, Lord, I can't go on Facebook and say, Jenny, where are you? So I am just going to pray that she comes to church on Sunday. And here she is. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:16. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteousness. Lincoln Brewster has a new song, too, that he sings about. You will lift me up. You will lift me up. It's called Brand New. Awesome. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east, now listen, I'm sharing things that are real in the kingdom that are your foundation. If you do not have this in your foundation, then you need to do something about it. So you can take these scriptures, listen to the CD, take it down, write it down, memorize it, and say, this is mine. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Exodus 15:26. If you do all these things, I will put none of these diseases on you. What'd you say, Stephen? Isaiah 43:25, I am he who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. You know, there was a story about a minister who was very powerful and prophetic, had a very in tune, in touch, ministered to a few couples, and they were just astonished at the reality and the truth that this person was able to share and bring deliverance and healing. And so another couple came in and started to get ministered to by this prophetic minister and looked at the husband and gave a whole thing and looked at the wife and all. He said, you know, there was some deep sin in your life. And she was like, you could tell her face was looking. And the Lord, in his grace and his blessing, he said, I asked the Lord what it was. And the Lord said, I don't remember. And that was the end of that. God doesn't remember. Once you repent, it's like it never happened. It took me years to get that concept. That if I screamed and yelled at my husband, I would call up one of my, you know, mentor ladies. And she would say, just pretend that it didn't happen. I said, how can I pretend it didn't happen? It didn't happen. I was screaming. When he comes home, just pretend that it didn't happen. You know, I would pray, and we'd come home, I'd just forget that it didn't happen. And he would just be fine. We'd just go on our merry way. So, no matter what, I was having a moment. I will not remember your sins. For me, that's amazing. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you are faithful to what I have said, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I have sent it to do. Mark 4:11. And he was saying to them, who? Jesus. To you has been given the mystery and the secrets of the kingdom. When I first heard this, I was like, the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. But you know what? Many years ago, I walk in the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom. And I am learning more and more revelation about the mysteries of the kingdom. And the reality of that, I'm able to walk in all of that because I'm a daughter of God. That revelation puts the enemy to flight, steps on his head, and sends him off So when you are standing in the authority and understanding in the revelation that you are a son or a daughter of God, you have the authority to step on the devil's head. I don't care what he's saying to you or what he's thinking or what he's lying. To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, everything is done in parables. Took me a while to understand this because I was a word person. I had to be in the word. I had to speak the word. I had to share the word. I had to be praising every second when I first got saved because I was desperate to be in the presence of God every second. And I used to beat people up over their heads with the very prophetic, and people would like, because I would tell them something from the Lord, and they knew it was the Lord because I had a witness in their spirit. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. But then it was worse. And I would just speak the word to people, and they would get, I realized after I really understood this that the people that are outside, you need to speak to them in parables. Because they don't understand the kingdom. They don't understand it. They don't know. I was able to share with both of my sisters at different times, in different manners, just a little something about how God loves them. That's all I said. I said, God loves you. And, you know, I learned a long time ago that God loved me, and that's what helped me, and that's why I'm doing what I do. And that's what helped me and continues to help me. I am he who blots out your transgressions, and I will remember your sins no more. See, I know that verse. Stephen posted it on Facebook. I said, yeah, I'm putting that into my message. I was like, blessing. See, mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth is established. Revelation 1:6, actually 4-6. Grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is coming. Love that. From the seven spirits before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead and the ruler of kings upon the earth, to him who loves us and has set us free from our sins through his own blood. Through how cool we are and how good we are. No. Through his blood. That's it. Through his blood. Who has made us, and here it is, a kingdom of priests. He has made us a kingdom of priests. It's not just that there's a kingdom. He has made us a kingdom of priests and kings. To his God and Father, to him be glory and power for timeless ages. Eternity, eternity, eternal, everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, God of all gods, King of all glory. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. See, I'm swimming in the river. I've been swimming in the river for about a month. And I'm also swimming in the river because of the retreat, because the retreat is about immersed. And I start praying in October and carrying what God is going to do at the retreat in my inner being, and out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water all the time. That river, that, yes. And you too. Now, listen, this is a statement, a truth. We need to strengthen and catapult the kingdom work into a sound place. We have to be sound emotionally, financially, physically, and mentally. A soundness and a restoration will begin to come upon us this week, this year, in a different measure, a new measure, a new power, a new thickness, a new weight of glory in this church. Those who are open, those who are listening, those who are responding, not just us, but across the globe, those who are listening and responding. Come to me and listen, the Holy Spirit says. Come to me and listen and learn. Sit at my feet. A soundness and restoration will begin to come upon us. The people of God, as we begin to realize through the revelation of his living word. Now it is the word. If I don't hear God speaking in an audible voice, I am in the word. I am speaking the word over my life. I'm continuing to memorize. I memorize and meditate on scriptures every day. We are his sons. the revelation of the living word that we are his sons and daughters, and that we have dominion within the affairs of the kingdom of God. The planting of this truth, I said before, and the understanding of who we are, will in the place of sonship, that we establish and understand that we are sons and daughters of God. That identity is what uproots the lies of the enemy. I had to do a lot of warfare this week surrounding my father because I have an older sister who's evil and wicked. So, you know, I learned a lot about wickedness from her. I also learned that there is wickedness and I need to deal with that as the truth of what it is. But I have to continually come back to the Lord, and my husband is my helper because she is my older sister, and there's all this family stuff that's all around my relationship with her. And I talk to him, and he tells me what God is discerning, you know, with the gift of discernment, what I need to listen to and what I need to not listen to. So he's my helper. Your husband or your prayer partner, they should be helping you to discern and walk through some of these things that you're in. Because you know what? When you're in the middle, you don't understand. When you're in the middle, you're just under it. So God continues to remind me, I have a place for your dad. I have a beautiful place for your dad. And there's no rush. Pastor Roy shared from his spiritual direction, they had this Korean or Asian interpretation of Psalm 23. And the first line says, I don't remember, but we're not rushed. Oh, you're my pace setter. You are my pace setter. I will not be rushed. So that's something that I'm learning in this trial that I'm in and this thing that I'm working through. You are my pace setter. I will not be rushed. I will not be rushed. And God, you know exactly when and where and how this is all supposed to happen. I am challenged by machines, computers, scans, all these things. But you know what? I do it as I could learn it. I don't get crazy. If I have a half hour, I'll sit down and try to make it happen. If it doesn't happen, okay, tomorrow's another day. Because I don't really have a full knowledge of these skills, you know. So I have to learn, and I have to learn at my own pace, which is something I learned when I went back to college. So there was many, many lessons. There are many lessons if we look and say, what are you learning? I told my father that. I said, you know, this is where you are right now, Dad. Well, I shouldn't have. I said, you're in a place of diminishing. You're in your last, you know, old age. I don't want to say it, but he hates the thought. Oh, I'm old age. Dad, you're 89 years old. I said, and I'm like, you can't be that old because I'm not that old. I said, you are. You're 89. You're old. I'm 65. You can't be that old. I said, yeah. So I said, what are you learning today? What are you learning? And there was a lot of things that had to be learned that day. And we went home and back to the hotel, came back the next day. And he's sitting in the main room playing bowling on the machine, you know, with the. And he kept doing it until he got it. I said, yeah, because he heard what I said, even though he didn't hear what I said. All right, so we want to uproot the enemy's lies and expose them for what they are. Isaiah 55, I'm going to read not all of 1 through 13, but a lot of it. Is anyone thirsty? Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, even if you don't have any money. I remember when the Lord showed me that, because this kingdom is free. It only costs me. Come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. And then I remember, ho. That's the first word of this. Ho. And I remember people going, ho. Whoa. When they were moving under the power, I said, oh, that's what that means. Come and take your choice. Listen to me and you will eat what is good. Come to me with your ears wide open. Hear and your soul will revive. You will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercies, the kindness, the goodwill, and the compassion promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You will also command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Do you have trouble saying I am made glorious by God?
No.
I do. Look in the mirror. Pray you are made glorious by God. When I read that, I said, oh, I'm made glorious. And my spirit started to move. I am made glorious by God. It's right in the Word. Do you remember and do you believe what the Word says? Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Inquire for and require the Lord. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. You know somebody that's wicked or caught up in wickedness, acting wickedly? You can speak this word. Lord, let the wicked change their ways. One of the things that happened when I was sitting in the hotel room after I had this barrage of attack from the Wicked Witch of the West, I was sitting there going, okay, what is going on? So I opened my Kindle. I love my Kindle Fire. And I start reading the scriptures, and I'm reading the scriptures. And it pops off. See, God knows I'm in the Kindle. It pops off, and it goes into the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, which I don't read that much because it's a pain in the neck to get back to the table of contents when you read. David, I talked about this. Anyway, I read it, and it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. I will expose the wicked plots of the enemy. And I went, oh! I wasn't looking for that, but I found it. And it's still, you see, it's still here. I didn't even have to look it up. It's right here in my inner man. That when that started, right, I had to cast the spirit out of my house and go outside and walk around and say, get off my property. My property. Okay. All right. You are glorious. Let the wicked change. Now, here's a good one. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. This is all in Isaiah 55. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. So, you know, sometimes we think, oh, our thoughts are cool, and we got a handle on all this. And, you know, here God says, well, wait a minute. No, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are much higher than your ways. I said, okay, well, take me up to where your ways are so high. Bring me up there because I want to hear your ways. I don't know why this is banging, but whatever. We're causing static. Here we go. The rain and snow come down from heavens. I remember when the Lord opened this up for me. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. I meditated for weeks on the rain and snow coming down from the heavens. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same thing with my word. That's an example of what God does with his word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will not return to me void without producing an effect. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Here's I lived in this verse for 2 days. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. You shall go out with joy and be led forth by your leader, the Lord himself, and his word with peace. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring honor to the Lord's name. Now, this is a prophetic word for RCF, for the Espositos, and for all of you. In agreement with the Hugos, because we are standing together as elders and pastors of this church, this will happen. This is God's desire for us. If you read Isaiah 55 and pray it for your life, this is what God wants. Once where there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name, and they will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. Thorns and nettles have to do with falsities instead of truth. Love of self, evil consequences of concupiscence. Ooh. I remember many years ago when I looked up lasciviousness, I was like, ooh, I don't like that, but oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I repent. When I looked up concupiscence, I said, oh my God, thank you, Lord, that I am not there. But concupiscence has to do with the desires. It has to do with that Santa Claus mentality. It has to do with the desires of our flesh, our fleshly lusts fulfilled, demanding that our selfish desires be satisfied. And thinking, well, I'm a Christian, so I should have these things taken care of, demanding. No. No. Love of the world over God. The cypress tree, it's also the curse of the earth. The cypress tree is durable, fragrant, hardy, and a tree that grows on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is a mountain range. There's three of them, at least, that are up on the, like north of Palestine. So anywhere you are in Palestine and anywhere you are in Jerusalem, you will see Mount Hermon. Talks in Psalm 133 about the dew that flows down from Mount Hermon. It has to do with the lushness and the beauty of a beautiful valley that's fragrant and filled with rain and healthy. That's what we want. We want healthy valleys in our lives. Mount Hermon is a place of blessing. It's also the mountain where I believe that Jesus was transfigured, and his three disciples that went up with him were completely changed as a result of that transfiguration. So it's a place to meet God. Mount Hermon is a place of blessing. The myrtles tree, it's one of the prophetic pictures of God's promised blessing. It has starry white blossoms, rich green and reddish leaves, beautiful plant. I'm going to look and see if I can find one to put in my yard. It's beautiful and fully fragrant. And myrtle is the Hebrew name for Hadassah, who is Esther. So it's pregnant with the blessings of God, the myrtle tree. It's pregnant with the promises and the prophetic reality that God has for us as we speak and walk in his word and walk in his ways, what his future and plan and hope for us is. Jeremiah 29:11 symbolize deliverance and freedom. Okay, I'm just going to move a little bit into the New Testament, just real quick. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now, this is a cross-reference for Isaiah 55 about the rain and the snow coming down from the mountains, and it fills the pools, and it waters the seed. And God, who is the seed? Who is the incorruptible seed that was planted in us initially when we first came to Jesus? Came to Christ. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the incorruptible seed. Incorruptible. I remember meditating on incorruptible, and that incorruptible seed was in me, and it helped me to overcome my corruption. Because I kept saying, wait a minute, the incorruptible seed of Christ is in me, and therefore I cannot be corrupt. And because I am a saint and a sinner coming out of that mindset, having the mind of Christ and the reality of the living Christ, I cannot be tempted, because there's no temptation come upon you but that which is common to man. And God is faithful and create a way to escape. So when the temptation comes, I have a way to escape, right? Is that not correct? Okay. Crackle, crackle, crackle. 2 Corinthians 9:10, and God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating. What does God say in Isaiah 55:11? So my word shall be come forth from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I have sent it to do. And it will not be unproductive, it will not be unsuccessful, it will be successful and productive. Here we go. God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, this is Paul, they will thank God. Now, I've already seen this. Rudy took a step in faith. He called me, called Pastor Roy, talked to him about the Lighthouse Rescue Mission. My daughter, Ariel, had to move, and thank God she found an apartment. They are moving in, and it's wonderful. It's two bedrooms. She's absolutely thrilled, but she had to absolutely begin to purge and get rid of all the stuff in her attic because she has this full attic of Sarah's and her stuff, and not to mention all the stuff in my attic, but I don't really care because that's whatever they want to do with that attic is fine. I don't have stuff anymore. I'm not interested in what's in the attic anymore. I'm cleaning out the closets in the downstairs room so I can put my stuff in the where I can reach it. I mean, I lived up in that attic. I had stuff up there for many years, but I don't have to do that anymore. Thanks be to God. It's just Pastor Roy and I. But she has driven over to Rudy and Elizabeth's house with a van full, you know, her car full of bags and boxes of stuff to take to the Lighthouse Rescue Mission. And she said to me right before he called, she said, you know, I have to find a place to take all my stuff. I don't want to just take it to Goodwill or Savers. Well, here now we got Savers. But she said, you know, I said, well, you can take it to my thrift store because it's a church and everything is so cheap there. And people come there and they flock and they get a lot of really awesome stuff really cheap. Okay, okay. And then Rudy calls. And I said, well, Rudy is going to the Lighthouse Rescue Mission. You can take your stuff there. That's what, and she got so excited. Now, see, this is right here, the fruit. You can always be generous, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Praise and thanksgiving will rise up. Praise and thanksgiving will rise up, David. Praise and thanksgiving will rise up. Verse 15, and now thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, who is Jesus himself, his indescribable, inexpressible, free gift. Jesus, the incorruptible seed, is an incorruptible seed, the Father's seed. The Father's seed is in you. And if you nurture that seed, it's going to grow up and cast out all the sin. It's going to just break every chain. Break off anything that's in your life that's ungodly. It's going to just rise up and break it off. And if you're in the midst of trying to break it off and trying to get it broken off, you know what? You can't do it. We can't do it. But the Word of God, the incorruptible seed, planted in a living, breathing, testament-filled believer, will break every chain. So, this is what I did today. Micah 6:8. I've shown you what is good. All that the Lord requires is to do justly, to love kindness and mercy, and to humbly walk with God. It's not a big deal. It's not really complicated. It's just a matter of surrendering over and over and over and trusting that sometimes it may take some time for you to overcome. And acknowledge that you are a sinner and a saint. Those things in your life that are not from God, if you surrender them to the Lord and continue to, I remember, and again, I'm going to share this, when I was smoking and I couldn't quit smoking, and I went up week after week after week for deliverance, and you know, I really didn't want to stop. That was the truth. But I did want to stop, and I was wrestling and struggling, and I went up and I talked to Jane Hale, and she said, smoke to the glory of God. I said, what? That was like so contrary to what I was being taught religiously in my thinking. I'm going to sin to the glory of God. But you know, I did it. I just, every time I lit up a cigarette, I said, Lord, I'm smoking to your glory. I did it every time. And then within, I don't know how long it was a couple weeks, I didn't want the cigarette anymore. Put them down, tossed them out. It took 2 weeks for me to go through praise and worship, praise, 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 Merlin Carruthers, praise, 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 through grit teeth, wanting that cigarette, wanting it, wanting it, wanting it, wanting it, wanting it, wanting the cigarette, wanting the matches, wanting the lighter, wanting to go to the store and their ashtray and going outside, everything that, so see all those things. They're like entrails, you know, they surround that thing that was addiction. So it took me 2 weeks to And that was it. I praised out. I praised out. David told me that. He came in, he said, the Lord told me I was driving to school the other day. See these beautiful testimonies of God speaking. He told me to praise him. Now that sounds like, oh, big deal. But the Holy Spirit told him to praise. Same way the Holy Spirit told me through this woman to smoke to the glory of God. The Holy Spirit told him to praise. He started praising, praising and praising. And then he said, you know what happened? I heard the Holy Spirit, because he obeyed the word that the Lord gave him, that the tide was turning. Oh, the river! It's the river of God! Sets my feet a dancing. Okay. My husband did not like that song. The river of God filled my mouth with praise. Anyway, I sang it for a while. There are people like that have this country. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I'm from New York. I guess that's part of it. I just can't. Ugh. Anyway, whatever. That's just personal. I'm going to pray this blessing over you, okay? Are you ready? Are you filled? Do you have any questions? What?
When are you going to stop praying?
Okay. This is Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Close your eyes. You can stand up if you want. I think you should stand up. That would be good. Because I'm going to speak this blessing over you, and I'm going to imitate my husband in what he does. When he speaks a blessing over you, I'm going to put my hands out. I'm going to speak this blessing over you. So I want you to see, sometimes you need to do something. Say, okay, I'm receiving this blessing. You put your hands out like this and close your eyes. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, passing all understanding, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. 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 And the people of God said amen. Amen. And all the people said amen. Doo-dee-doo-doo. All the people said amen. I don't know the song, but all the people said amen. I know that part. I can sing it. All the people said amen. So say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.